Welcome back to Ignite Your Light, a podcast that connects creatives, healers, and entrepreneurs through spirituality and wellness. My name is Riley Webster. I'm your host, and today I am so excited to share this episode with you. I interviewed Krista Ripma, who is the founder of Authentic Audience, a marketing agency based out of San Francisco, California. And she is all about honest and authentic marketing. She works with a lot of yoga teachers, healers, musicians, the creative types, all the people who are essentially trying to make the world a better place and don't necessarily know how to market themselves. So we did a deep dive into honest and authentic marketing, how to hone in and share your unique gifts, some practical tips to help you tell your story, and just how to spread your message in a way that feels really aligned with you and in your integrity. So I'm really excited to share this. I do have to apologize. The audio, for some reason, was just not working in our favor. So it's a little bit glitchy, but I promise you the content is amazing. So if you can look past the audio and just bear with me and hear the content, get some tips, get all the things you need from this, I really hope that that can happen and that this can help you. And I promise I will hone in on what went wrong with the audio next time. But I hope that you love this. This is really an area I am trying to kind of reframe for people, helping to show them that marketing can be authentic, it can be honest and real, and it really can be an amazing part of sharing your message and sharing your story. So without further ado, here is Krista, and I hope you enjoy this. So happy that we're connecting, Chris. I've been following your journey just through Instagram, and I've been listening to your podcast and stuff. So I'm so excited to be talking to you right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reaching out. I'm happy to be here.
So I'd love to know how you got into this line of work and just more about your journey.
You know, I have no degree in marketing, which I was just realizing last week. I was on the phone with a client, and she was sort of feeling like she wasn't a lot of times this happens in the entrepreneurial world, feeling qualified. And I was telling her, I didn't study marketing and I run a marketing agency now. So I think it's just all different experiences. And for me, my first love was visual storytelling. So I went to school for communications and film. And then I lived in LA working in Hollywood on movies and TV shows. So I realized very quickly, I love the power that visual storytelling has, but I want to do this in a different way. So that sort of led me into health and wellness. And then I diverted into yoga and got really deep on my yoga path in my early 20s. I ended up moving to Aruba, actually, to work with a very well-known yoga teacher, and I helped her launch her brand. And shortly after that, I got deported from Aruba. And when I came home, I realized I can do this for other people. So I started out really slow, just helping yoga teachers with their social media, with their website, realizing the things that I knew that seemed like common sense actually were not for most people. And it just sort of picked up from there. And it's evolved a lot over the last few years. 2.5 years ago is when we started Authentic Audience. And my husband, he was not my husband at the time, joined me and was like, we can actually make a go of this. Like, you're changing people's businesses, you're transforming their lives. And so that's when we became like a full-on marketing agency where we now have a Facebook ads team and we do so much more. But for me, it's just always back to the storytelling. And that's sort of where it all began. And that's what my main focus is in the company, is helping people tell their stories a lot over and over again and basically just share their whys. And then I have a great team that gets it in front of the right people.
That's amazing. I work with a lot of healers and yoga teachers as well. So it is, I feel very in line with your story, because I noticed that too when I was offering my services to people I just love and look up to, and realizing that not everybody has those skills to put their message out. So it's amazing that someone like you or someone like me can help them to share their message and essentially just get more people practicing yoga and more people getting healed, right?
Yes, 100%. Yesterday, yeah. My sister called me, and she's this beautiful, she's a dance choreographer, she's a life coach. And she was like, I'm thinking I want to host this webinar. I'm going to charge $20 and like, I'm going to do it on Eventbrite and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was like, no, no, no. Like, you're not in the business of $20 webinars. You're in the business of getting 6-month contracts with coaching clients. So we're going to give this away for free. Also, we're doing it via Zoom and a landing page. Like, why are you using Eventbrite? And in like 5 minutes, her whole flow was changed. And I just realized yesterday, I was joking with Clay, I was like, I should do a webinar on how to host a webinar.
Because, you should.
Because people just don't know. And she has this beautiful gift, and it's like whole workshop planned and has worked so hard on this PowerPoint. And this is where so much of like the break in the flow is happening. Like, she has put so much time into developing this workshop, and then the break in the flow is actually getting it out there and getting people to sign up. So that's where we come in. And if they, you know, knew everything, it's not their zone of genius. And if it was, we wouldn't have a job. So I think it's okay.
Totally. So what do you tell healers and yoga teachers and people who are in wellness who feel icky about marketing themselves? What is your advice to them?
So my bigger mission, I think, in life is to help my clients specifically, everyone, sort of redefine their relationship with marketing and sales. I think if you're a healer, if you're a yoga teacher, and you've dedicated your life and now decided to make this your career, you have a business responsibility, and marketing is a really important piece of any business. And it doesn't have to be slimy. It doesn't have to be icky. I say all the time, nothing is good nor bad. It's the intention behind it that makes the thing what it is. And marketing isn't good or bad. It's the intention that you bring to it. So if you're a yoga teacher, for example, and you're leading a retreat, and you've like put your whole soul, poured everything into preparing and curating this incredible experience for people that you know is going to transform their lives, and you don't put it out there and you don't get that person to sign up, you're doing a disservice to that person. Like, if you know that your services are transformational, are healing, if somebody's going to come to your yoga class and leave better that day, and you don't hold space for them to show up and you don't provide the information for them, then you're doing them a disservice and you're doing your business a disservice. So it's just about being honest. And people, you know, from a marketing standpoint, need to see something, especially if it's high value, like a retreat or an online course that costs a couple $1,000s. They're going to need to see that over and over and over again. I mean, there's this book that I wanted to get from this writer who I love, and I had to see her post about this book like 10 times before I swiped up to buy it, because I just didn't have my credit card near me the first time or whatever. Like, there's so many reasons why some going to sign up right away. So I always say, if you announce something or drop one email and no one signs up, I'm not surprised at all. Like, you have to hold this space and you have to take it seriously. And if you're honest about it and in integrity with what you're offering and what you're sharing and putting all of this work into creating these offers and then not marketing it right, it's like such a bummer. It's like a tragedy to me.
Totally. Because you can see how amazing it could be.
Yeah. And I think this idea of selling ourselves is, you know, it's a hard one. I navigate it all the time. I mean, I have this love-hate relationship with it as well. But the minute I put out an offering and people sign up and I know they're right for it, and I get on a call with somebody and they're feeling resistance, as people do, and I don't make fail knowing that I could transform their business, I'm failing them, really. And once I sort of made that switch in my head of when I get on a call because somebody's interested in my program or working with me, and they're totally perfect for it. Like, I know that my business and my company is going to help them in a massive way, and I don't make that happen for them, it's not my loss, it's theirs. And I think getting into that mindset of like back into service and being of service, a big piece of that is holding space and doing the work without the expectation of, you know, this thing's going to sell out, but like, I'm going to hold the space and the right people are going to show up, and they always do.
Totally. Totally. I was watching your speech last night, Marketing Your Dharma. And I love that you were talking about allowing people to bring their full selves into what they're offering. So I think so many people can get it mixed up that you have to be placed in this one little tight box and you have to be so niched to succeed and you can only share this content or only do this thing or only be this thing for people to understand. And I love that you were speaking about bringing yourself into your business and being able to show that maybe your life is sometimes messy sometimes, and maybe it looks like this sometimes, and being able to bring that really relatable human quality, because I really do think that people are waking up to marketing in a lot of ways. And I think the old paradigm of marketing was that,
yeah,
was to be like in that box and, you know, very kind of like not really human. And now it's changing where we want that authenticity. We want that vulnerability because that is how we connect.
Yeah. Well, I think people too are getting a lot more like aware, waking up, like you said. I'm sure you've heard me say this before, but people follow people first. So if you look at some of these really big yoga brands, like Yoga Girl is a really good example. Like, now has like all of these sister companies and all these different brands, but the face behind it and the name that made those brands trustworthy to her followers is her. And same thing with me. Like, I now have this great team, but if it wasn't for me earning the trust of the people that are finding us, then they wouldn't trust my team. So I think, you know, people always follow people and then they follow brands. And the other piece of that is people need to relate. They need to be able to resonate. Like, I really believe that our humanity is what connects us. And you don't have to say, you know, there's a big difference between authenticity and transparency. And I like to make that really clear. Like, you, I know that it's a fine line, and I've seen some accounts and I've watched some people go way too far on the transparency side, where they're sharing every little fight, every piece of suffering, you know, with no like sort of light to show for it at the end of the tunnel. And there's a difference between like dumping our baggage on people and then finding this like common ground or building a bridge with somebody where we all can connect. Like, we all have resistance, we all have guilt, we all have shame, we all have pride, we all have joy, we all have these like main things. And like, sharing about that, I think, and like our successes and our failures and our excitements and our bad days, like all of those things and what we're doing about it. I think, especially as a yoga teacher or a healer, like when you're marketing your services and your offerings, I think, you know, we tend to put our yoga teachers on this pedestal, and understanding that we're just human beings and this is my offering and this is my zone of genius and my gift and I'm sharing it with you, but also I'm a human being. Those accounts and those people who are fully authentically sharing their lives themselves, they do better. And it's because people can connect with them. So there is a fine line between transparency and authenticity. And I want to say that, and it's, you have to, everyone needs to really navigate it for themselves. But at the end of the day, in your heart, like in every conversation, you know, if you're showing up authentic and in integrity, and you're really the only one that knows that. So I don't know if that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Do you feel that there are other avenues that are just as important in marketing as social media?
Oh my God. Because
I feel like a lot of us think of marketing, we think of social media, but I feel like we're forgetting about other avenues that are just as important.
Yeah. I'm a really big fan of the email list. I know people have a lot to say about this, but it's one thing that hasn't changed in marketing in over 20 years is like people check their emails every single day. And I think, you know, right now, the way that it's working on, you know, without getting too technical, is it's turning into like a pay-to-play environment. So even if you have 100,000 followers and you make a post, 5% of those people are even going to see your post because you have to pay to actually reach your audience now. And that's what we do. We make sure that, like, say you are launching something and you want to share about it, we make sure everybody that's in your audience that's followed you and engaged with you in the last year, like, is interested in your, in you and what you're doing, can actually see your offering. So that's, you know, step one. Like, there's social media, but then there's also paid Facebook and Instagram ads, which is a totally new and different beast. And for, unfortunately, I guess fortunately for my company, it's necessary. Once you get somebody's email from them, they've opted in, they see your value, they want to hear from you. Those are your lowest hanging fruit. Those are your people that you can nurture, that you can warm up, you can email, you can connect. I mean, the best way to market yourself is get in front of people. I mean, so many people are just scared to get in front of people. And half of the time, my action items are go host a workshop, go get in front of 10 people, you know, like go teach a yoga class, go host something here, reach out to 5 studios and tell them you're going to come and host this thing. So I still think the best form of marketing, if you're good at what you do and your product, quote unquote, sells itself, you just need to get in front of more people. And I think digital marketing is not a way to like get yourself out of that organic hole. Like if you're in a hole organically, people aren't finding your products, people aren't enjoying your products. Marketing isn't going to help that. You know, my husband always says, like, you have to have a product or a service or an offer that is good, that people love, and then marketing can scale that. So people worry so much about marketing when really you should be thinking more about creating something. And again, this goes back to what you were saying, like, you don't have to fit all of your skills into one box, like create one niche offering for one specific person. Think about that person you're creating it for, put it out there, and then go create the next thing. So it doesn't have to be like your life depends on this one offering. But I think if we spent more time on the creation of what it is that we're making and how it's helping people and how we're serving people, then the marketing becomes a whole lot easier.
Totally. And online, your online marketing should support, not replace, your work.
Yes, 100%. And I think it's a huge misconception too, that if I just like launch something and put a bunch of money behind it, it's going to work. And we've seen time and time again, like your offer has to be like, we had this call yesterday and he wants to, or actually I'll use a different example. She wants to launch her online course again. And she did it in March and she got 48 people to sign up. They had a great experience. She's never run Facebook ads. It was all through affiliate marketing, which is another great avenue for marketing. And so many people use this. If you have a great network and you're launching something, pull people in from your network and pay them. Like give them incentive if they believe in the value of what you're offering to share about it to their list. Focus on making one person's life better and it will just scale so much easier.
Yeah, I love that. And I think sometimes we can equate the amount of followers we have with something that will automatically convert into something else, where I think word of mouth and actually that human connection, that human to human connection will never go out of style, will always be number one. And if we can focus on that and make that so, so strong, then everything else will fall into place. The online following will fall into place. Everything will just kind of go from there.
I can actually look in the back end and that number of following, sometimes they have over 100,000 followers, but maybe 700 people have engaged with them in the last 30 days. There are people on your plate that are engaging with you, that believe in you, that support you. Like, feed them. Feed them first, anyway.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. What would you say are some good tips to grow an email list?
You want to put an offer out there that's super valuable, that is super valuable and that is aligned with sort of your higher ticket offering. So if your thing is astrology, you're creating a very valuable offer. That is the best way to earn trust. And you post it on your Instagram. We even run ads for these free offers to grab an email address, and it works amazingly. Basically, what I'm saying is you create thing that's super valuable that really resonates with who you are and what your gifts are, and you give it away, and all you ask for in return is an email address. And the people that see the value in whatever that offer is, those are going to be the people that you want to nurture, and you keep providing them value. That's the other piece. So to grow your list, you create something very valuable that people want, that aligns with your truth, with your mission, and you put it out there you can put it out there with so many different ways and start collecting email addresses that way. But then the second piece is nurturing those emails. So you don't just want to put offers in front of people right away. Like, come to my retreat, come to my workshop, come to my class. It's, hey, here's another free meditation I created this week. Here's another, core sequence, that's your thing, that I incorporate into all of my classes, like continuing to nurture people with value and earn the trust. And sort of, it's like dating and like getting to know this person before you like ask them to move in with you. You know, that's the real thing, is you want to earn their trust. You want to provide them value. And then once you put the offer in front of them down the line, they're going to be so excited to take it because they've gotten all this value from you and you've earned their trust. So that's what it's really about, is like creating something really valuable and then continuing to nurture those people that see the value in you.
What are your thoughts on just how saturated things have become, though? So, for example, I have so many newsletters coming into my inbox every day. What are your thoughts on the timing of things so that we're not inundating our audience?
Yeah, you know, I actually think that this oversaturation is a great thing, because I think I love competition, and also it means like the industry has changed. So in like, say the 90s, like the beauty industry was like a $1 billion industry, and it still is. But you know what else is now is the yoga industry and the self-care industry, and people are spending money on retreats and essential oils versus like makeup and Botox. And it's this really beautiful shift that people are realizing like the answer is in me, and they're spending a lot of money on that. And I think it's a beautiful shift that's happening, and it's a shift in consciousness, actually. And for me, the oversaturation is everybody's unique and nobody has what you have. And the biggest problem happens when you try and create offerings and put something out there that, oh, this person over here is doing it, so I'm going to do it that way, versus this is my idea and this is how I want to put it out there and this is how I'm going to promote this thing. And if people really can get behind you, like my personal inbox is also completely inundated, but I literally scroll through it. And if there's like a catchy like subject line, or it's somebody that it has provided me all this value that I look forward to, I follow one person. Her name is Steph Birch, and she does this write club. She's like, her name's Steffi now on Instagram. And she sends like multiple emails a week, and I read all of them. She's providing so much value, like writing prompts, journal prompts. Like, it's not bothering me. Mm-hmm. I think the other piece is like, if I don't want to read it, then I just don't have to read it. But I'm shocked when I go into my clients' accounts that are emailing their audiences once a week or a couple times a month, their open rate is way higher than people that are only emailing their audience every couple of months.
Interesting.
It's so much higher, and the people mm-hmm. that are clicking and engaging. So I think, you know, it's just the shift in mindset of like bothering people / inundating people versus providing value and holding space for people. And it's just like facilitating this connection. And if 5 people read it, that's great. But you are saying, hey, I'm here. Here's what I'm saying. Here are my offerings. And it's just a matter of holding space for people. And for me, like for staff, as an example, I'm, you know, get swamped during the week. And then I go back to my personal email on a Sunday and all three emails she sent that week at one time, you know? So even though I'm not opening it the day that she sends it, I'll still go back mm-hmm. and I'll read those emails. Same with my other client, Erin Weed. I look forward to her emails. They're funny, they're valuable, they're authentic. And I think just knowing you're unique and what you have to say is totally different than what everyone else has to say. I mean, look at my business. Do you know how many freaking marketing agencies there are out there? Like, there's literally probably hundreds of thousands. And for whatever reason, the way I talk about honest marketing, I mean, I help people create sales funnels. I'm not doing anything like crazy different, you know, like what I'm doing is very similar to what other marketing agencies are doing. I'm just talking about it differently. The only thing that makes it unique and different is me and like what I'm saying about it.
I think it really comes down to owning what our gifts are, our individual gifts, and knowing that we each have this amazing power inside of us, and my power is going to be different than your power, and your power is going to be different than the next person's power. And if we can reframe it to be that marketing is supporting us to feel empowered in our power and empowered in our gifts,
yes,
then we can start to look at it a little bit differently. Our lens on it changes, and I think we start to really attract the customers, the audience that we're really seeking, because we're owning who we are.
Yes, I 100% agree. And I think a lot of people, especially in our community, honoring your gifts and getting caught up in your ego is like sort of a fine line, and people are afraid to own their gifts, but you have to know your gifts. And it's like the first question I teach this business of yoga course sometime to a yoga teacher trainees, and I'll look at the whole room and the first thing I do is point at somebody and I'm like, what are your gifts? And they like can't answer me, and I'm like, guys, you're a yoga teacher, what are you going to walk into the room with? What are you going to bring? Mindset is pretty much 90% of it.
Oh, I completely agree. And it's really interesting because as a business owner, you go through these periods of feeling super motivated and in alignment and just on board with everything. It feels like the stars are aligning. And then you go through periods of, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? You know, you go through this kind of roller coaster. But I think it's when you're in the periods of not feeling aligned that you're not seeing your business as a big picture, and you're not able to do your marketing from a really authentic and integral place. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Fear plays a big role, I think.
Fear and resistance.
100%. And I would be lying. I mean, I feel that roller coaster literally every day.
Like, me too.
Yesterday, I had two calls where I ended the calls like totally on a cloud, you know, like, oh, this is why I'm here. I'm helping people their gifts and find their purpose. I also cried three times yesterday and was like, I give up. So for me, it happens daily. I have another client who last week was like done. She was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And this week she's like, I'm in this really good place. I've raised my prices. I'm feeling really good. And then she texted me a few hours later and was like, I just got four new bookings. And as fucked up as it is when you're in that low place, you're doing your business service, and it's so hard. And that's why I had this woman on my podcast, Yet Simkin, and she said, I was like, what do you do on the low days? And she's like, this is why we do the work. This is why we have our toolbox, especially as yogis. Like, we know what to do, and the resistance is so strong. Sometimes I can't even like light my incense, which I know for me, lighting my incense and playing a particular song goes so far. And my resistance is so strong that I just want to literally sit and cry. But when I can get back to, this is my business, this isn't being of service. What I'm doing right now is not of service. And if you can just do one thing for yourself or for your business when you're in that place, and it is so hard, but for me it's literally opening up Spotify and playing the Hanuman Chalisa. So I think like as yogis especially, like we have schools. And I always say, like, I'm so grateful for my practice, because, and by practice, I don't mean like my physical practice, but I mean my mental practice of being able to, like, I'm always going to react. I'm just that kind of person. I'm never going to not react. I take my business very personally. If one little thing goes wrong, it feels like everything's crashing down. My reaction time practice is so much shorter. So where it used to take a whole day or a whole week, you know, to get out of my head, I can jump out of it in maybe 15, 20 minutes. Like, I still need to cry. I still need to go down to that dark hole, but I come back out, and it's kind of amazing how quickly you can spiral, but also how quickly you can come back.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes.
Like a daily remembering, you know?
Yeah, totally. I was at so I work in marketing and I also teach yoga, and I was doing my 500-hour yoga teacher training this summer, and I was having a day of feeling like, oh, I'm exhausted. I just want to be alone. I'm feeling antisocial. My body is tired, blah, 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 just creating this whole narrative in my mind. And then one of my teachers said, and I said to her, I was like, you know what? I think I just need an afternoon to be by myself. I was being so dramatic.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, why don't you just show up neutral? Like, why don't you just show up exactly as you are and just see what happens? And I thought about it, I was like, oh, like, that's allowed.
Right.
So I showed up neutral, you know, I wasn't like gung-ho, like, yes, yoga today. I was just neutral. And she put some music on, and we all had a little dance before we got started. And my mood had completely changed within exactly 15 minutes. And I had this crazy realization after of, oh, I get to decide how I feel. Oh, okay. I get to decide how I feel. So in my business, I get to decide how motivated I am. Okay. I get to decide who I work with, the types of work I'm attracting, the types of work I'm letting myself do, my boundaries. I get to decide that. Oh, I have total autonomy and I can control. Well, control isn't really the right word. I can choose how I want to show up.
Yeah. Recognizing that it's a choice is like a blessing and a curse. And I'll say that sometimes, like, I'm choosing to be really angry right now, but just the awareness around the fact that it is a choice. Like, if I were to right now, I could go down on the treadmill, do my run, like, whatever it is that I know is going to make me feel better. Like, I'm choosing to not do those things right now. And I think just having, totally, knowing that you are in control. And I do think it is a control thing. And learning that you control your thoughts and you control your mindset, it's definitely a daily reminder for me, like, how quickly I can forget, but how quickly I can remember. Like, it's almost embarrassing sometimes how quickly I can, like, turn it around. Like, I was literally in a ball on my 5 minutes ago, you know, and then 5 minutes later, I'm like on top of the world, and it's almost embarrassing.
Oh my God, I totally feel you. A friend of mine recently said to lay the groundwork of what you want to happen. So whether that's in your business, in your personal life, what have you, lay the groundwork. So figure out the marketing strategy, figure out how you're telling your story, you know, keep showing up, and then surrender to something bigger. And what a blessing to feel that we can take the hands off the wheel a little bit and let the universe line things up, because we've done the groundwork. We've done everything we can do. We've done the planning that we're able to do and that we have control over. And then we can sit back and watch it unfold.
I know. And that's the hardest part. And it's the most beautiful part, like, at the same time is, and it goes both ways. Like, also the opportunities will show up and then you have to take them. So it's like, you're constantly working with this greater energy. And I think for me, with my spiritual practice, that surrendering has changed my life. So knowing that I'm going to show up, my little mantra is let everybody and tell the truth. And if that's what I'm doing every day, I'm loving everyone, telling the truth, which is really fucking hard to love everyone.
For sure. That's an amazing mantra, though. That is amazing.
It's not mine. It's Neem Karoli Baba. It's Maharaji. He used to say that to his devotees, and I've taken that and made it my own. And for me, it's like this daily check-in, Like, are you loving everyone and telling the truth? And when I'm out of alignment there, I try and get back in. Like, is this coming from a place of ego or where is this coming from? But I think, like, just coming back to our tools, and as yogis, like, you have the tools and you have to use them. And it's like, I actually hold yogis like higher, like, I have higher expectations, I guess, for people that have a daily spiritual practice, because it's like, you know the thing. Once you find that sort of click or that light switch turns on, also it's not going to stay on, but you know how to turn it on. And and it will go off 5 minutes later. I mean, people who think they reach enlightenment and stay in enlightenment is like ridiculous. You can find it like 10 times a day. But it's like, once you know how to turn the switch on, you have this sort of like, I feel like it's like this secret that I want to help other people find. And unfortunately, you can't force it on people. They find it in their own way, and everyone's on their own path, and they might not even find it in this lifetime. But having it yourself, like, I really do hold yoga teachers to such a high regard, because it's like, hey guys, you know what to do. Like, you have the tools, you have the rituals, you have your practice. Like, go back to that, go there, go to that place. And if yoga is your business, even more reason to be in alignment with what you're doing.
Completely. And I think that people get such a block around marketing because it feels to them, or they think maybe, that it makes them superficial or it makes them narcissistic or all of these things. And I keep just trying to reiterate to my clients that marketing is literally just sharing your message to help more people in the world. That is what it is.
100%. And I think we're doing it. I mean, by having these conversations, like, to me, it's like person by person. Like, one of my clients was like, I don't do marketing, I don't run paid ads. And I'm like, okay, cool. So you like don't want to grow your business? Like, what? What? And so we've done like 3 launches together now this summer. She's tripled her revenue, and she's like, oh. And she wrote me last week, and she was like, you've literally healed my relationship with sales and marketing. And if we can do that one person at a time, like, to me, marketing is holding space. It's being honest. It's sharing your why, sharing your truth, and providing value for people to show up. And that's really all it is. And honestly, like, not to be a total asshole, but if you're not doing marketing, like, you don't really have a business because even if, say, you have, a really big following and your organic reach is great, that's going to run out. So now is the time, if you have really big traction and really big growth and reach, to actually start implementing marketing. You don't want to wait until your leads run out. Like, you want to actually start implementing some strategies now to hold on to those leads, nurture those leads. And again, like, marketing isn't good or bad. It's what you bring to it. And if your intention behind it is to help heal the world, then I think that's a pretty great intention. And any successful company, like, 10% of your revenue actually gets invested back in marketing. And that's pretty conservative. Some companies are investing 20% into marketing. And marketing doesn't just mean growing. It means nurturing the people you already have. It means reaching the customers and followers or audience that's already in front of you, as well as, like, going out and reaching new people and pulling in cold leads. And it's so fun. Like, if you have a great story and a great message and great offers, how exciting for somebody new to discover you today. Like, it's,
yes, amazing.
It's so fun. Like, I always think, like, Trevor Hall is a good friend, and a lot of times he headlines shows, and I'm like, oh, that's great. But I'll look out in the crowd and I'm like, man, every single person here knows every word. Nobody new is discovering him right now. And then he'll tour, like, he recently toured with John Buck, who has like a totally different audience than Trevor does. And it was so exciting to be in the crowd, seeing people discover him for the first time in that moment. Cool. I'm like, this is marketing.
Yes.
Like, instead of headlining, he opened. Yeah. And that was a great marketing strategy, because that's how new people got to discover him. So, you know, it's just shifting the mindset, really.
Totally. I usually, towards the end of a yoga class I teach, I play You Can't Rush Your Healing by Trevor Hall.
I do love that one.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so resonant. I love it.
Yeah, I do have a special relationship with that song, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a Shavasana song.
It's a Shavasana song, and it's like the message of being where you're at, you know? And I think that's actually something that he's teaching me all the time. And it's just being where you're at. So if you're having a low day and you're in a low place in your business or whatever, it's okay to be there, but also knowing you are healing, you're growing, and you do have some control over your situation, even if it's just your thoughts. Like, it makes a huge difference.
Totally. What would you say to people who are maybe freelancers and who are working with yoga teachers and health and wellness brands? And what would you say to them to help keep that motivation of holding space and keep that motivation of helping these people in the industry through marketing? What would be your tips for them?
Honestly, it's going to sound very silly, but just keep reminding them of their light. I spend half of my time with my clients not talking about marketing. It's fighting their resistance. And it's not even their resistance to marketing. It's, am I good enough? Am I a coach? Can I say I'm these things? Yeah. Can I put this offer there? And it's me really and authentically and sincerely doing it. Like, you can't bullshit people, but if you really believe in your client, if you're a freelancer, really believe in that person, changing their mindset is going to be huge. Because if you're marketing them and they don't really believe in themselves, or they're having a low moment energetically, it's not going to work. And I feel this with clients all the time. I'm like, we're doing everything right, and the only thing wrong right now is their mindset. They don't think people are going to sign up for this, so they're not going to. And so for me, it's like reminding them, you have these gifts. They are super incredible. I tell them how they've changed my life. I remind them of, you know, moments that I've seen like transformation occur, like whether it was in a yoga class or, you know, it's my favorite part of my week going to your class, or on that call, you brought that person to tears, like whatever it is. It's really just reminding people and helping them remember their gifts and remember their light. And I think if you can do that for your clients, because as a freelancer, if you're in marketing or whatever it is you're doing, social media, you know how to do that. Like, it's your zone of genius. You know how to do marketing, but making sure that your client is like there energetically is huge. Like, I have a client with a launch coming up right now, and she's really resistant and nervous about it. And I know it's going to be fine. Like, my only job right now is to make sure that mentally she doesn't have a doubt in her mind, that she's calling in abundance, that she's calling in the right people. And it's like resistance. Like, she jokes that I'm a resistance coach. And I think that that is what we can do for our clients, especially these healers, that it can be nerve-wracking. They don't know how to do marketing. They don't know how to do what we do. And it can get discouraging when they don't see sales coming in or whatever. And it's really just reminding them, it's the sale hasn't come in because the right person hasn't showed up yet. And we got to hold space and call in that right person. Who do you want to show up? If you were to look around your room or your workshop or whatever it is, what kind of person do you want to see there? Like, energetically feel them, and they show up. Like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So my advice to people, if you're in this industry and you know what you're doing, like, you know how to do a launch strategy, you know how to create an email sequence, you know how to write, do stories and ads and all of that stuff. It's holding space for your client. That's the biggest thing I do. And I think, you know, our two sort of mantras at our company, our mission is, one, deliver results, obviously, and two, facilitate the connection. Like, actually have a relationship and earn the trust and remind them of their light and, like, be the person that they call when they're feeling like giving up, you know, and just be there to remind them.
Totally. Oh, I love the way that you speak about this industry, Krista. It really inspires me, and it also feels so validating in a way too, that I'm on the right path. So I just really appreciate speaking to you, and I think so many people need to hear this. And I really think that part of my purpose too is to change the way that people see marketing and to see it as something that can support them in their business and support them in sharing their unique light, because we all have that.
Well, you're doing it, you know, and from, you know, selfishly as a marketer, it works. Like, not only are you going to be able to help people and be a service and help them in their business, but you'll create it. successful business doing it, because that's what I've noticed is, like, I did this from the beginning with my head down, just doing the work. How can I help your business? How can I help this? Da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden I'm like, holy shit, I have a really successful company. And it was created out of authenticity and integrity, and it works. So it's like, yeah, kind of a win-win for everybody. And totally. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to find abundance for yourself in the process. And I think that's also an important reminder.
For sure. For sure. No, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Yeah. And yeah, I hope that we can stay in touch and keep connecting.
I hope so too. I'm thank you for reaching out, and you know, we're already doing it. So we'll just keep spreading the message of good, honest marketing, and it will catch on. It already is.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Krista, and also for bearing with my slightly sketchy audio. I am a human, and sometimes technology just kind of does its thing that we don't really have control over. So thank you for your patience and for listening regardless. Next week, I will be releasing an episode with yoga teacher Natalie Rousseau, all about how her business has changed and evolved and how entrepreneurs can allow their businesses to change and grow with them. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day or night, and we will speak soon.